It was good. Who does the Ross stuff? Oh, it was deliberate. That's a great attitude. Anyway, we'll just leave that where it is and we'll keep moving forward. Well, how good was the worship? Anyone? Just me? That's awesome. Oh, I'm psyched for the new album, actually, because it's not about like an album or a song that's cool or a production that's good or something, but there's just Jesus on it and the heart of God there and the presence of God there, and to be like, I'm excited to be able to put that just in like my car and on my iPod and just listen to that every day and get that in, and that arpeggio is awesome in that bridge, Adrian, on the bass there. You know, nobody else even noticed, but it was heaps cool. Play it quick. Run up and play it quickly. Do it. Really quick. Not quick enough. Keep moving. Woo-hoo! I don't know if many people hear it very much, but I liked it. 1, 2, 3, 4. You got to play that quick. Ooh. That's why they call it a stomp box. Ooh. I'm going to preach over the top of this tonight. I think you can just keep going, Adrian, for the entire message. Woo! There it is. I don't know if anybody... That is really cool. That's really good. Oh, but you played it, so there you go. That's awesome. I don't know if people noticed that in that bridge. Maybe they're more like focused on God rather than Adrian on the bass, but... It sounded really nice. I just wanted to mention it. Well, this is our last week of Love Is Our Weapon. Wow. It's been like big and it's kind of been long, I think, but in a way it's also been quick and it's been really good, I think. And we've seen like hundreds and hundreds of love deeds done in the life of our church and in our families and communities, and that's incredible. And I just encourage you to keep going and to make that acts of love a way of life and not just a program, and be doing that every day, because yeah, it's not about deeds and ticking off deeds, it's about showing people the love of God, and we have a chance to do that every day of our lives, and there are always opportunities, and you could take like all 10 of these things or just make up your own ones that you hear from God and from the Bible and do them and show the love of God to people just in a real way every day of your lives. And if we did that, if we really did that, then we would just see so much impact, I reckon, in our community. Yeah, so keep going, and like the website will still be there, all of that will still be going, so you can, if you want, if you've been really loving clicking off those deeds and that gives you some sort of thing like motivation or extra motivation, then you can keep doing that and you can keep watching the videos and all of that is really good, so keep doing that. Yeah, I was reading John 13, and it says, Jesus says to the disciples in verse 35 that he says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." He says, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." And I think that kind of is what we're talking about and what the Love Is Our Weapon thing is about. It's like people are going to know that you follow Jesus because of your love for one another, because of your life of love and the lifestyle that you live that isn't just selfish, it isn't just about your own ideas, it isn't just a religious thing, but it is a genuine love for God and a genuine love for other people. And people will know that you follow Christ when that's how you live. Yeah, so let's just keep going. Yeah, and I really believe that this is what the church and we as the church should be known for. Yeah, we shouldn't be known for like great program or big buildings or controversy in the media or whatever it is that people know the church for, religious ideas. But imagine if the church could be known for its love for people, and people could see you and know that you're from our church, and know that that's the church where people love God and people love people, and people just are committed to what God wants for people's lives and the best for people's lives, and just have a genuine love for people. And that's the church. That's the bride of Christ. That's the church that Jesus set up, yeah? And that's who we're called to be, amen. So let's get into it. Let's do it, yeah? Let's not just talk about doing things. Let's actually do something. And this week is Disciple a Dude. You, girls, you are included in this as well. We're just going to watch a video about it real quick. I hope.
Over the past 21 years, I've had the honour and privilege of walking with Jesus Christ. It's been the best 21 years of my life, and I'm so thankful to God for those years. I think back over those years and the times when I've grown the most in God. I can honestly say that the times I've grown the most have been the times when men and women of God have sown into my life one-on-one. Times that people have discipled me one-on-one and really poured in what God's placed in their life into my life. Matthew chapter 28 talks about going out and making disciples of all nations. You know, every time you disciple somebody, what you're doing is you're saying to that person, I love you enough to sow into your life. I love you enough to give you what God's placed into my life, into your life. It's one of the greatest acts of love you could ever do is disciple somebody else. I think about the honor it is to sow into somebody's life. And I want to encourage you this week, go out, sow into someone's life. Give them what God's given you. The Bible says, freely I receive, freely I will give. So go out this week and freely give what God's given into your hand today. Be blessed in Jesus' name.
The last Love Is Our Weapon video. Ah, that was a good one. Awesome. So, disciple a dude. And Benaiah there, he quoted Matthew 28, which is the Great Commission, which says, go and make disciples of all the nations. Yeah, and so that is what it's about. And I like that Jesus doesn't say, go and make converts of every person in the world. He doesn't say, go and make Christians of every person. He says, go and make disciples. He says, go into the world and disciple people. Yeah, because Christianity is not about more people joining our club. It's not about more people coming and sitting on a seat on a Sunday, amen? It's about a community of faith. It's about a community of people who love God and who love each other and who are committed to each other and care enough about each other that they will disciple each other, amen? And that's why I think Jesus doesn't just say, go and tell everybody what I did for them, but he says, go and disciple them. Make disciples, because like a disciple is so much more than just somebody that sits around in a church service. You know, in Jesus' time, this idea of disciple was not uncommon. In fact, like most rabbis, like religious teachers, they would have disciples. And it would be people who followed them. People who believed in their particular like way of looking at the law and who believed in their opinions and the way that they lived their life and tried to emulate that and imitate that, and they would follow that teacher, yeah? And so a disciple is someone that really follows somebody. And that's not just like following them on Twitter. Because, you know, you can follow lots of people and you're not actually anyone's disciple. But it's about, like, living together with those peoples. Jesus spent 3 years literally living with his disciples. 3 years of 24/7 ministry into their life and discipleship into their life. And I think, like, I was trying to think, like, what's kind of a thing in our world today that makes sense in that relationship? And I don't think there is much, but I kind of thought about apprenticeships and how an apprenticeship is like following somebody and learning from them by doing things with them. And that is kind of the idea, like, of discipleship, except probably without the, like, rubbish jobs that you get as a first-year apprentice, Toddy. It's probably a bit nicer than that. And I don't even think that an apprenticeship is like an adequate description of what it truly means to be a disciple. Because to be a disciple is like really full-on following somebody. And that is so wildly different to attending church or being a church member, yeah? It is not about religion or attendance or rules, but it's about relationship and heart and connection and genuinely really following Jesus and following somebody, yeah? And to be a discipler is about being someone that somebody can follow. And so it's pretty simple. And like I was saying to Rach earlier today, it seems a bit silly to preach about discipleship because preaching is kind of the opposite of discipleship. But, you know, we've got to do it anyway because they both have their place. So I am going to preach about it. But I think we need to understand that the discipleship is not about sitting in a seat and hearing a good message and understanding things, but it's about connecting with people and building each other up, yeah? And genuinely helping people in their walk with God and in their life, yeah? And so I think there are some things that will help us understand that, and if we get them, that they will understand and help us to be a disciple and to be a discipler, because I think there's actually not... You don't need really different skills to do both, I think. Like, I don't think you need, like, to be a discipler, you don't need, like, Bible college or a degree, or you don't even need to be a Christian for very long at all. Like, to be a discipler just means to help somebody else in their walk with God. And so we are called to be discipled and to be a discipler. And in an ideal world, like, we would all be in that relationship for our whole lives. And if you are in a life group, then you're already engaging with that. And that's so good. And I love that we have a church where people are connected and discipled effectively. And it's not just about coming to church and leaving again and that's it. But it's about real connection in your life. So if you aren't in a life group, if you haven't connected with people in that way, then I encourage you to do that. If you are, I encourage you to bring more to your life group. Be a discipler in your life group. Look for somebody that you can help and you can build up. Yeah, don't just leave it to your life group leader and think that that position means that they're a discipler, because it's nothing to do with position. It's all to do with relationship. Yeah, so that's actually my first point, is relationship. If we want to disciple well, and if we want to be discipled well, it needs to come out of relationship, not rules. Yeah, because discipleship can't be a once-a-week thing. It has to be an everyday thing. If I'm only discipling on a Sunday, then I'm only being followed on a Sunday. And so I could be just discipling somebody on a Sunday, and I look at their life on a Sunday, and I'm like, wow, they're doing so well. They're serving God. They're honoring God. That they're just reading the Word. That they're doing all this stuff. And I've only seen like 1/6 of their life, because I haven't engaged myself with the rest of their life. And so who knows? Those other 6 days, they could be doing all sorts of stuff. And because I am not effectively discipling and I don't have real relationship, I think everything's great and their life is a mess and it doesn't work, yeah? But being a discipler, a real discipler, and a real disciple is about relationship. You're truly following and being followed. Jesus, like when he calls his disciples, he tells them to follow him. And in Luke 5, this is about him calling Peter and Andrew. And so he says this, it's like they're there and these guys have been out there fishing, like Peter and that have been fishing. And it says, I'll read from verse 4. They've been out, Jesus finished speaking. He said to Simon, put out into deep water and throw down your nets for the catch. And Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I'll let down the nets. When they'd done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full they began to sink. When Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. And that's a discipling-disciple relationship. Where it's not like, well, okay, Jesus, like, I'll listen to you when you bless me. But Jesus has just given them this incredible miracle that would have meant huge money for their business. Yet they leave all of that and they follow Jesus. And that's discipleship. That's saying, all right, I'm gonna give up my other life. So often we hold on to everything in our life that doesn't honor God, and we want to hold on to it so tight. But if we would just follow, and we would just follow Jesus and allow ourselves to be discipled, we would have so much more and better. And just think, if Peter had just kept on fishing, we wouldn't know anything about him today. But because he made himself a disciple of Jesus, he changed the world, literally changed the world. I don't know which one I would prefer. So true discipleship is about relationship. It's about time together. Pretty much every time you hear Jesus talking to his disciples about stuff, so often it is like about, like they've gone away together. They're hanging out together. They're having a meal together. They're spending time together, yeah? And that's what it is, yeah? It's not just like teaching. It's not just here are the rules that you follow and then you'll be a good Christian. But it's about like relationship and time and value, yeah? And letting people not just see you like on a Sunday or in your life group, but see you like at your worst, and see you in every part of your life, and hear the struggles that you have, and see the things that are going on in your life, because that's a genuine relationship. That's a genuine discipling relationship where you let people in such a way that they can see your genuine relationship with God, your genuine heart for God, and let that impact and motivate them, amen? And all of us can do that, yeah? Whether you have been a Christian for 10 years or 10 minutes, you can show somebody that you are there and that you are genuinely seeking God, and that can be an encouragement to somebody. That can be a discipling relationship, yeah? In Acts 2, we hear about the disciples just like the disciples coming together and starting to build the church. And it says that in Acts 2:42 that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. I'm really interested by this because we look at like religious ideas or prayer or those things, and we put them up like high, and we should, because they're incredible things. But when the disciples were building the early church, they broke bread together as much as they prayed together. And if we would do that, then we would build these real discipling relationships where we are devoted to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. Sometimes, like, we want to hear the latest teaching, and I don't know if you've been around church for a while, and maybe it's so easy now to get teaching from all over the world. Like, every pastor and their mom has a podcast, and so, literally, like, mom is on our podcast, but, and so it's so easy to devote yourself to the apostles' teaching. But we can't forget the fellowship part, yeah? Because that's where it's real life. That's where it's actually going to make a difference. Because you can get as much teaching and rules and knowledge as you want, but if you're not engaged in relationship, then you're not actually going to grow. So it needs to be about relationship. It needs to come out of relationship. The second thing, I think, is it needs to be about the heart, not about the head. Because discipleship is not about head knowledge. It's not about learning all the stuff. It's not about knowing what it means to be a Christian and what it means to do all the right stuff so that when I go to church I look okay. That's not discipleship. That is not being a follower of Jesus. A follower of Jesus is a heart thing, yeah? It is about your heart being devoted and your heart desiring him, your heart wanting connection with God and knowing that he loves you and that you love him and that you are devoted to each other in that sort of discipling relationship. And that's about a heart thing. That's what really matters, yeah? If it's just academic, it isn't discipleship. And that's the real difference for us between a life group and a Bible study. Because for a long time in the past, we would do Bible studies. And that's great. And you pick something in the Bible and you talk about what it means. And that's a good thing to do. But a life group is about, okay, what is God saying in your life? What is the thing that you are struggling with? What is the thing that you are believing for breakthrough? And what is the thing that you need help with, that you need support with? What's the thing that you want to celebrate with somebody? What's the great thing that God is doing in your life? Who are the people that you are praying for that you know need to know God's love? Like, that's a life group as opposed to just an academic thing, yeah? And because that is about a heart connection. That's about actually making a difference in somebody's life in a real way, amen? In Luke 18, Jesus is going along, and it says this rich young ruler comes up to him, and some of you might have heard this story before, and he comes up to Jesus in Luke 18:18. It says, a certain ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says, why do you call me good? No one's good except God alone. And then he says, you know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. He says, all of these things I have kept since I was a boy. That's the head. That's the academic thing. He knows the rules. He knows the stuff. And he's done the right things. So Jesus says, when Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. It says, when he heard this, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. Jesus looked at him and said, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? Indeed, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. And Jesus doesn't care about the money in this story. He cares about this guy's heart. And he can see that he's a guy that can easily follow all the head things and get all of the head things right. But his heart is devoted to money. That wealth is the thing that is discipling him. And Jesus says, you free yourself of that and you come and follow me and you'll have treasure in heaven. That's how you inherit the kingdom of God. That's how you inherit eternal life. And we have that same opportunity and that same, like, challenge as disciples and as disciplers to say, what is the heart of the issue? What is the real thing going on in your heart? Not just all of the outside things that make you a good person, but what's the thing that's in your heart that makes a difference? Amen. And so being a disciple is not about knowing all the stuff, but it's about heart for God. Yeah. Someone who's been a Christian for a month, I think, can be more of a disciple than someone who's been a Christian for 20 years. Because it's so easy to just sit and just to know all of the stuff and to know the right words to say and the right things to do. But a heart for God is totally different to that. A heart for God is just a whole nother ball game. And so you can have it either way. I've been a Christian for a long time, but I think the most important thing for me is not that I know what to do in a church service because I've been here for ages, but that I have a heart for God. And that I continually want God to speak to me and God to move in my heart and to be listening to what he does and to be listening to people in my life who are discipling me, yeah? And so that's how you disciple. And the third thing I think that is required to be a good disciple and to be a good discipler is humility. Like, there are heaps more than three things, but it's a message, so there's going to be three things. Being a discipler, discipling a dude, can't be about being someone's boss. And I think we fall into this trap. It's like, I can be the boss of somebody if I'm discipling them. I can tell them what to do. I can control their life. I can do that. But you disciple somebody because you love them and you want to serve them. You are a disciple because you love God and you respect who God has put in authority over your life. And you want to serve them. And so we are in this mutual servanthood and this mutual humility where we honor each other and we care for each other. And discipleship comes out of love, not out of obligation or rules or not out of, like, just wanting to be in charge, yeah? If you are discipling somebody because you wanted somebody to tell what to do, just stop. Just quit. Honestly, just quit. Because it's not doing anybody any good. That's not discipleship. Yeah, discipleship is being the least. In John 13, Jesus is he's He's with his disciples and he's fellowshipping with them. He's got that relationship with them. And then he shows this humility and he washes their feet. And some of you might have heard this story. But he says this. He says he got up from the meal and he took off. Or some of it, he says he knows that the Father has put all things under his power, that he had come from God and was returning to God. This is just before Jesus was going to die. So he got up and he took off his outer clothing and he wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around them. And he comes to Peter, who says to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus says, "You don't realize now what I'm doing, but later you'll understand." Peter says, "No, you'll never wash my feet," because Peter hasn't quite figured it out. He doesn't know what's going on. And Jesus says, "Well, unless I wash you, you'll have no part with me." So he says, "Okay, wash everything. Don't just wash my feet." This is my paraphrase. If you've got your own Bible there with you, you can look at that, and then you'll actually be hearing, this is just me sort of getting through it quick, except then I just wasted all that time. So Jesus says, "Those who've had a bath, they only wash their feet and their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you, for he knew who was going to betray them." Blah, blah, blah. And then he says, down in verse 13, "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that's what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them." What Jesus is trying to show his disciples is that being a discipler, being a teacher, is not about a position. It's not about having power. It's about serving people. It's about loving people. It's about having humility. And he says, look, if you really want to lead, if you really want to disciple people, he says, then get down on the ground and wash their feet. He says, get down into their life, into the situation that they're in, and give of yourself humbly into their life. Not thinking that you have all the answers and you know what's best to do, and not sitting up at the back and telling them what they need to do, but get down there in the dirt and wash their feet. Amen. And that's what he says. And then in Philippians 2, it says this. It says that we should imitate Christ's humility. Do nothing, in verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same attitude of mind Jesus Christ had, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a human being, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. That's the humility that we are supposed to follow, that in our relationships with one another, we would be humble and that we wouldn't be looking for our own thing. Like, you cannot disciple somebody if you're looking for your own interests. It's not discipleship. Discipleship is saying, that person is more important than me, and I'm going to give of myself to see them fulfilled, to see them fulfill the call of God on their life. And God's promise is that if we all do that, then we will all be filled. We will all be fulfilled, and he will lift us up. Yeah, and so, like, that's discipleship, I think, is being humble and showing love and having real relationship and genuinely caring for someone enough that you would put yourself down and lift them up. And that's, like, that's this incredible act of love, because it's not just teaching. Like, telling somebody what to do and giving somebody a list of rules is not an act of love. But discipling somebody, giving of your life, showing your life to somebody so that they can help, like, it can help them follow God, that's discipleship and that's love, yeah? That's an act of love. And that's what discipleship is about. And I guess as I finish, like, I just want us to think about why we disciple people. Because our discipleship always needs to point to Jesus. And if it doesn't, then it's pointless. Because, you know, you can be someone's disciple. You can be discipling somebody all sorts of paths and all sorts of ways. But we need to be people who are first a disciple of Jesus Christ and then a disciple of others, and then a discipler of others. And Paul says it in 1 Corinthians 11, and he says in verse 1, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And that's the call of God in our lives as disciplers and as disciples, that we would be people that say, all right, I'm going to follow Christ. And so because I am going to wholeheartedly do that, I can confidently say, you follow me, and we'll both get there. And that's a big statement to make. And there's no way that we're going to get there perfect. And even Paul keeps going on and says, I don't think I've got there yet. I don't think I've achieved that, but I'm going to push on towards that goal because that's the thing I'm aiming for. And if our motivation is Christ and Him alone, then we will be effective disciplers and effective disciples. Amen. And so let's make it just about Jesus all the time. I'm just going to pray. God, thank you so much for everything you've done for us. God, I thank you for the people you've put in my life that disciple me. And God, thank you for the people that you've given each of us the opportunity to disciple. And God, I pray that you would help us to just do that with humility and love, to build real, loving, and genuine relationships with each other, God, just in a really practical and deep, caring way, God, that you would show us ways this week and in our lives, people that you have placed there for us to disciple. And God, but you'd also show us the people who have been put there to disciple us. And that we wouldn't be too proud to think that we need some discipling, God, but we would all be open to instruction and to teaching and to fellowship, God. And I just pray that you just be with us this week and you just bless every person here. Before we finish, this is the last week of Love is Our Weapon, and the ultimate thing of love is really Jesus and what He did for us. And we can have relationship with Jesus right now, like right here. You can start a relationship with Jesus, and it's not about rules or religion, but it's about following Christ. And Jesus died for us. He took on like the burden and the weight of all the stuff that we've done wrong, so that we could have relationship with Him and we could have eternity in heaven. And so, if you want to start a relationship with Jesus tonight, I'd like to pray with you. And so, if that's you, maybe you just raise your hand with me, and we can pray together about that. Awesome. If that's you. Thanks. God, I thank you for every person here tonight, for people who've responded. And God, I thank you that you invite us into relationship with you every day. And you are always there, always wanting a relationship with us. God, thank you for what Jesus did on the cross, and that how He died for me, He died for us, and He took away the burden and the punishment for our sin, and we can have relationship with you, God. And we just thank you for your forgiveness, your grace, and your love, and we accept that. And I pray that you would just come into our hearts right now, God, that you would just be speaking into every heart, into every life, God, and just helping us to enter in relationship with you, God, where we would be disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, then make sure you see like your life group leader or the person that brought you. And we've got like stuff for you as well, like resource to help you like live that out. Because it's not about a decision. It's not about a hand up. It's about a life following Jesus. And that's what it's about. So, yeah. Amen. Thanks, guys. Let's play something. Hang around for a bit after Explosion. It's the last week of Love is Our Weapons. We're just going to celebrate, hang out, have some fellowship. Just do that. It'll be good.